Upgrade efficiency with NACFI's Mike Roth and Friends.
Joining me on episode 9 is Quinn Garcia, Managing Director of AutoTech Ventures, where he shares his insights on why the trucking industry is ready for transformation, the role his company plays in providing funding for ground transportation innovators, and some additional advice to both entrepreneurs trying to break into the ground transportation space and into incumbents already in the field. Today we have joining me Quinn Garcia of AutoTech Ventures, and who I've only known for a short little while, but we have some common people and some common technologies in our background. So hello, Quinn. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So NACFI's been helping innovations find their way into trucking kind of since we started 11 years ago. And we've even seen some Silicon Valley companies that we've had a relationship with. You know, maybe we've coached them a little. They've sort of told us about what's going on, like, you know, Josh Switkies of Peloton, Josh Carter at Aperia, Dan Burrows of Extreme, and even Alan Woodrow at Ike. So there's kind of a thing going on here. And Quinn and I thought it'd be a good podcast to talk about. So we're going to compare some notes today and maybe uncover some things maybe you and I didn't even know about. So tell us about AutoTech Ventures and a little about yourself personally, Quinn.
Sure. So AutoTech Ventures, we are a venture capital firm based out of Silicon Valley that invests in startup companies that are solving ground transportation challenges. So movement of people and goods along road. We're looking for startups who are trying to solve the world's biggest pain points related to movement of people and goods along roads. And we do that in partnership with many of the world's leading trucking and transportation corporations. So these corporations have committed capital to the $300 million in venture capital funds that we manage. And we help those large corporations to identify startup companies and engage with those startup companies in innovation projects. In these partnerships between the large corporations and the startups, the corporation brings its scale and its deep expertise in the transport sector, and the startup company brings its innovation and nimble nature. And we think that bridging the gap between those two sides can help to more rapidly solve many of the challenges in the trucking space and in other ground transportation domains.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're pretty focused in a particular market. Is that unique?
We are focused only on ground transportation. There are plenty of other venture capital firms around the world who focus on a given sector, healthcare or semiconductor or social media or otherwise. However, there are not that many that do ground transportation. There are a few, but not many.
Yeah. And so I know enough about this to be dangerous. Do you focus on funding, very early on when the innovator or the entrepreneur is trying to just by himself get it off the ground, or is it a little bit later in the process?
We tend to be pretty early. We tend to invest starting at the seed stage all the way up through Series C. So usually a startup will, you know, their first funding might be a pre-seed or a seed, and then they would do a Series A and a B and a C. And so a seed stage tends to correspond to just a few people and an idea and perhaps a little bit of initial traction. And traction can come in the form of some initial development of technology or some proof points in terms of customers.
Yeah, very interesting. So let's dive into one example, and then we'll come, we'll kind of get into some detail to help myself and the listeners kind of understand all of this. So, I mentioned that we worked with some of those companies over the years. I mean, one that comes to mind that I know you've been involved with is Dan Burrows at Extreme, and they now have this truck wings product that's beginning to scale in the industry, and it caught my attention. And I even told Daniel, I don't think this is going to work. We've seen others not work, and he and the team there is making it work. So from your perspective, and then, you know, maybe I'll throw in a couple of what our experience with that's been, but let's use Truck Wings and Extreme sort of as an example. How did you get to know them? What process did you go through with them? to help them get off the ground.
One of my colleagues, Dan Hoffer, got to know Xtream and previously had made an angel investment into the company, and was really excited about the company and brought them to our firm. And we became attracted and excited about Xtream for a couple of different reasons. So one, as a VC, the two most common and most important factors are really team and market. And the team led by Daniel Burrows, the founder and CEO, is phenomenal. Daniel's just a wonderful person who's really capable at bridging between kind of the tech sector and the trucking world. He can really kind of speak both languages, which is really important for a startup that's trying to enter the trucking space. And Daniel's assembled a team of complementary people around him who have all these various skill sets needed to produce these truck wings units that Xtream creates and deploy them and service them and communicate with their fleet customers. So team was a really important element and relevance of that team. And then the other factor was market. So as we all know, trucking is an enormous market. Fuel consumption and fuel and really labor are two of the largest cost elements for trucking fleets. So fuel is a huge pain point that needs to be solved. And there's various companies that are attempting to solve the fuel efficiency challenge. And you know it better than I do, Mike, about all the different companies that are out there. So huge pain point, and in pursuing it, solution of that pain point in a pretty unique way. There's not too many companies out there that are creating active aerodynamic flaps to seal the air gap between the tractor and trailer.
That resonates a lot with me when you talk about team, and in particularly speaking both languages of, here is the, tech world and trucking. And I got to believe that's common whether you're developing, some kind of new computer or truck part because that's a big deal. I mean, and NACFI, we've seen it. We've seen, companies come and think they're going to teach trucking and how, trucking doesn't get it. And, they got this great idea and they're going to got to jam it down our throats. And, no one wants to be told that, right? So somebody who can bridge that, not only with the entrepreneur and the innovator, but also the team he or she grows. I recall a couple of times with some of these companies, just inviting them, come to the truck show, come here, come there, and they would spend a day and then they would come stop by the NACFI booth, talk to myself and the team. And, we'd coach them, well, really, you ought to go talk to that over there, and so forth. And that sort of modest, listening to understand the industry first while you bring your new technology. I mean, that's gotta be big. So as you begin considering an investment and then longer term, do those two factors, team and market, just stay as you move? I mean, how many times might you invest in the same company?
Yeah, I like the way that you phrase that. So we are looking for entrepreneurs who can bridge that divide between the kind of this upstart tech culture and more of a more traditional incumbent culture, and there's a huge disparity between those two cultures when you think about trucking and startups. And so as a startup, to become successful, you need to empathize with your customers. You need to speak their language and focus on solving their pain points, not force feeding them a solution from Silicon Valley and coming in as the savior to try to fix them, but really understand them and consider them and empathize. As far as to your question about what are we looking for after team and market, and I think the other part of your question was do we fund these companies multiple times after our initial investment? So in addition to team and market, we're also looking for partnerships. We love to see it when a startup company has concluded that they're not going to try to develop everything in-house, but rather partner with other folks who have the right skill set out there, whether it be as a supplier or as a go-to-market partner, a channel partner, a technology partner. And there's a variety of other factors as well. And then to your second question around, you know, do we make follow-on investments into companies? And yes, we absolutely do. And we have, for example, in Xtream. So we might make an initial investment at the seed stage or Series A, or in some rare cases, a Series B or a Series C. But then we will participate, we will invest in the follow-on funding rounds, and we will help the entrepreneur to find other investors to fund them as well. So we're not just kind of a passive source of capital for transportation startups. We invest and then we help them very actively with fundraising and corporate development, business development, recruiting, PR, and strategy.
Yeah. Very cool. So I don't know if this is shifting gears a little bit, but I've been at this a while in trucking, and I noticed, you know, and I do interviews all the time, both talking to people like yourself, but, you know, being with the media and others. And, you know, I noticed in my own language a couple years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I started saying, you know, trucking's now at the cool kids table. And it kind of stuck. I mean, there's a couple of places I think I got quoted on that. And you know, it hit home for me as I walked out of the Tesla semi-truck launch down in Southern California. You know, that was sort of where it kind of all came together. But, you know, Quinn, what's going on here? I mean, why is, you know, trucking so, seems to be so ready for disruption and transformation and even just kind of much more open to new technologies than we've been in the past? I mean, I certainly believe that. And I'm curious from your side, you know, why do you think that is?
The trucking world, obviously an enormous market, one of the largest markets in the world, one of the largest subsegments within the ground transportation sector as a whole. So that's you know, a great market opportunity right there. There hasn't been as much penetration of technology into the trucking world as, say, you've had in, for example, media, right? So mm-hmm. There's been quite a bit of penetration of tech into the media world. And the tech giants, about, call it, you know, 5-10 years ago, the tech giants were looking for their next huge market. And they identified ground transportation as that next huge market. And so you've seen companies, obviously Amazon, entering into the trucking logistics space. You've seen Uber get into space, both with autonomous trucking and with Uber Freight. You start to see Waymo getting into this space with their autonomous trucking initiatives, and there's a variety of others. And so really these large tech giants are looking for an enormous market where they can apply their competency in technology to try to solve some of these big challenges that the market's facing. Meanwhile, a variety of startup companies have come along, and those tech giants that I mentioned, they were previously little startups. Amazon was just a little startup some years ago, as was, you know, Google and Waymo and Uber and Tesla, right? And so now, you know, Tesla is obviously a behemoth and very active in the trucking, you know, manufacturing and autonomy space. So it's really the entry of those tech giants, and that's also gotten a lot of venture capitalists and entrepreneurs excited about creating little companies that can come in and try to help solve some of these big challenges.
Yeah, it's and it doesn't need, you know, it can be smaller. I don't know if there's a thing called smaller disruption or smaller, you know, there's little ones and bigger ones and
incremental yeah. Improvement as opposed to disruptive.
Sure. And so some of that's a little easier. You know, and we talked about the language earlier, but just the overall cultures too. I got to believe some of these firms, and I've talked to some of the startups, they're like, and trucking, you know, some got it, you know, they were definitely clear to, you know, we're a big fan of, you know, product diffusion methodologies. And so, you know, there's some innovators and a few early adopters, but boy, that early majority and late majority in trucking, that seems to never come. And I kind of talk about it in terms of, well, the technology might be really good for some and just not as valuable to others, even though it still might be valuable. But how do entrepreneurs look at the trucking market after they've been in it a little bit or tried, whether they're successful or maybe more importantly, my question would be for those that weren't successful, what do they say about the trucking industry?
There's plenty of failure modes in startups. Most startups fail, in the end, right? But then those that become successful become enormous successes, right? And we've seen multiple different failure modes among startup companies that are attempting to address some of these trucking pain points. And one potential failure mode is for the startup to be a little bit too tech-centric, right? So for technologists or folks coming out of a tech hub like Silicon Valley or Boston or elsewhere, they think about solving problems in terms of technology, but sometimes they don't empathize enough with the actual end user of that technology or new business model. And that's one potential failure mode. The other potential failure mode is for a set of entrepreneurs to be too focused on that customer and how that and to come from that world that the customers come from. So they've actually come from the incumbent world, and they're not able to apply as much the kind of the technology DNA to try to solve the problem. I've seen that happen as well. You know, some former, for example, corporate executives who've tried to create startup companies but haven't really been able to step outside the four walls of that incumbent industry to embrace tech. What we're really looking for in kind of the perfect storm is when you have some of both. When your team, the startup team, consists of folks from the tech world or from the business model innovation world, and people who really understand and look and smell like the end customer from that original industry, then you're really set up for success.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that in our conversations before around maybe it's someone who's retired from the industry and wants to sort of give back and is tech savvy or tech fan, right? Or a tech, cheerleader and can help do that bridging of maybe, what's going on with the new technology. Hey, something I want to definitely ask you about is a concept around hyping new technologies. And, I'll just be real blunt. It appears to me that some of these entrepreneurs are really into over-promising what their product's going to do. My guess is to attract you and funding, they need to say that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread and potentially kind of over-promise. And so some of the coaching we've done is, hey, when you get to really talking about people that are going to buy the product, make sure that you're very real about the benefits, not, to them. So this over-promising, is that a nature of the work you do or of this or not, meaning, you don't want that either, but does that even make sense to you? My sort of hypothesis there.
So I think what you're speaking to is kind of the importance of hype when it comes to new technologies. Just how is it essential for us to actually hype things up in order for a company to succeed? So my view on hype is that it can be destructive or it can be highly productive. And my thinking on hype is really if you think of an equation where the numerator is the amount of buzz around a new technology, and the denominator is how much actual productivity that technology is providing. So if you think about autonomous vehicles right now, so huge amount of buzz, enormous numerator, but actually there's very little autonomy out there in the world today. There's very very little autonomous trucking, and so actually fairly little productivity for society. So an enormous hype ratio. Right, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because we humans are often resistant to change, and if we are willing to change, it's because we see something in front of us. We see an opportunity that's so wonderful that we're willing to take on the risk of making that change. And so in that sense, hype is actually really important for an entrepreneur to actually share this vision of hey, we're looking to create something wonderful and solve a really huge challenge. And yeah, there's going to be problems along the way and risks. And of course, we ourselves risk failure, just as any startup does. But without painting a phenomenal picture that people can become inspired by, it's really challenging for an entrepreneur to gain enough support from venture capitalists like us, And in many cases, gain enough support from folks in the industry that they're serving to get behind them. So really important to convey a vision, but at the same time, you don't want to overpromise and end up disappointing those people to whom you've conveyed that vision.
Yeah, just good old authenticity comes to mind, right? I mean, hype with still some authenticity. And you know, I think too, what we've been seeing that's helpful is to put the performance of the product, you know, and then the product in context of now versus in the next few years or say, you know, longer term. So the whole subject of range and batteries right now on electric trucks. So, you know, we've got some electric trucks out there that are clearly, you know, class 8 tractor trailers that are clearly in the 150 to 200 mile range. You know, there's talk of 300, 400, 500 mile range, but you know, when, you know, is it now, soon, and later? Put in context what they're promising or suggesting their product will do, you know, can be real helpful. So, hey Quinn, I knew we'd run out of time quickly. You know, finally, I just ask, you know, what's your advice to either both entrepreneurs, maybe we do this in two ways. What's your advice to entrepreneurs that really see trucking as a place for their product? And then what would you tell, and maybe more importantly, probably for the audience we've got on listening to us today, as to, you know, whether it's an end user fleet or a truck builder or a supplier, you know, a component supplier, what would be your advice to them when they're thinking about technology and looking for solutions to problems?
First, my advice to entrepreneurs who are looking to solve challenges in the trucking space would be, as we were discussing earlier on this podcast, you know, really, really try to embrace that kind of incumbent culture of your customer, but also make sure you're bringing in your kind of tech and your innovation element to the table. Don't try to do it all on your own. There's many brilliant people out there that have been working in the trucking industry for decades, and they know a lot, and they've built a lot over these years. And there's no reason to try to build things that they've already created. And so go out and partner with them and find them and look at the things and be humble and look at the things that they might be better than you at creating and work with them. As opposed to wasting your time and investors' resources developing things that may be redundant to the problems that have already been solved by folks in the trucking industry. And then, you know, my advice to folks who are from the trucking industry and who are thinking about technology would be to, you know, open up and consider outside your four walls that some really great ideas can come from people who have kind of a fresh look at the industry. So you know, don't try to develop everything in-house. I know that that's often been kind of ingrained in corporate culture, the notion of, you know, developing it ourselves and using it ourselves. But really, you know, kind of similar to the advice that I shared with entrepreneurs, really think about, you know, there's other people out there who are really brilliant and who have unique talents that they can bring to bear to help your business. And we as a firm, as Auto Tech Ventures, we'd love to talk with both sides, and we'd love to facilitate connections between both sides.
Thank you very much, Quinn. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I think this is an important discussion for the trucking industry with, you know, not only the great ideas that are coming our way, Silicon Valley and other great places, as well as how open, maybe more open than many of us give our own selves credit for, the industry being to those changes. So thanks for the work you're doing and helping these products get into the real world. So best to you and Auto Tech Ventures. Thanks for joining me, Quinn.
Thank you, Mike, for bridging the gap.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosen Friends.